Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Back to another edition of Listen In with KNN on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, where today I am celebrating Women's History Month, yes, with a woman who is taking the sports world by storm. Today I welcome in Miss Renee Washington, who covers sports on the East Coast in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag ListenInWithKNN.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
Kicking off today's show, of course, it's my Do Good Sports Athletes of the Week, where today I'm honoring, it's the first university that I'll be honoring for their student athletes. I will be going to Liberty University to honor them because they donated over 2,500 books, 2,500 books on Hop On Pop Day. Yes, helping our students read and learn and grow. They went and read to students, and I thought it was great. And also, we know how important books are. In a world of electronic communication, nothing beats reading books. I remember when I was growing up, I'd read maybe even 3 books a day, and it helped me to get to where I am. And, of course, we know students still need those books to continuously learn. And so congrats to the Liberty University student athletes for earning honors this week as my Kelsey's Do Good Sports Athletes of the Week, presented right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. It's now time for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with our special guest.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch. And if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when...
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports town of the district and beyond. It's now that time to get into some sports talk with today's show and welcome in our special guest, sports anchor and reporter, Renee Washington. Renee, welcome to the show.
Kelsey, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
It is a pleasure. You know, for Women's History Month, I had to scroll through my mind and think who I wanted on. I definitely wanted to get you on, obviously, because we connect in so many ways. And obviously, you're just doing a thing up there in Philly and New Jersey. So I wanted people down here to get a chance to get to know you better.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. And for people that don't know you, I'm just going to quickly run through your bio just so they can kind of get a feel of you more. So Renee Washington is a reporter and anchor for Gatehouse Media, covering sports and news in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. She is also a color analyst with the Ivy League Network. Over the course of her sports broadcasting career, Renee has worked in many different aspects, including sideline reporting, a play-by-play broadcaster, and also a writer. Most recently, she also just started her own YouTube show called Positive Vibes Only to address and discuss issues going on in the news, sport, health, and anything in our daily lives. In her sports playing career, Renee was a 3-time All-American soccer player at LaSalle University. She also coached Division I soccer at Lee University for 2 years, and she still coaches youth travel soccer. So, Renee, you're obviously very busy, but your YouTube show really stands out to me. What inspired you to kind of start this YouTube channel, and what do you hope people will get from it?
Yeah, so it's something that I've always wanted to do, and actually when I got into reporting, a big thing that I was interested in doing with it is using it as a platform to speak out on issues and different things like that. And I know some people say sports is not a platform and reporting is not a platform, but in my opinion, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have always been a big advocate for change and going about changing in so many different ways, whether it's education, youth, poverty, whatever the case may be. So I couldn't narrow it down to just one thing, and I didn't want to just focus on just sports or just news. So Positive Vibes Only is honestly, every show will be different, and it's just a way to get people to think differently about anything that they encounter throughout their daily lives. So whether it's my first episode, I talked about bullying in schools and how we can teach kids to be more accepting of others instead of being so judgmental. And that starts obviously as kids, but even as adults, where we have that issue where we constantly feel like we have to look down on other people because they're different, or we may not agree with how they see the things or how they dress or how they look. So honestly, it's just exactly how it sounds, trying to get people to change how they approach their daily lives so that they can be better people, to spark some sort of change in how we all live.
Right. And first off, I mean, the title I love, Positive Vibes Only. I feel like that's kind of how me and you kind of connected.
Yes.
We get it. Awesome Association of Women in Sports Media, just because I feel like we have positive vibes. We're positive people. And sometimes
exactly.
I feel like people think it's not natural. But yes, there are people who are naturally happy people and don't carry anger around with them everywhere.
Yes. I have been called a flower child, a hippie, like whatever.
Yes.
You want.
See, we connect in so many ways with it.
But
it's like we're happy people.
Exactly. And it's just because I know personally, I was not always this way.
Right.
I just changed how I approach life. Instead
yes.
of being so focused on things I can't control,
yes.
I can control how I react to things. So maybe
yes.
I don't like what someone says to me, but I can control how I respond or how I
right.
go about my daily life.
Right,
so
I'm the same exact
yeah.
way. Same exact way. I was never always like this. I know some people
think,
okay, you're lying. But no, it's true, and I had to get this way because, like you, stuff, I mean, yes, we all go through challenges. You never know what anybody is going through. But
exactly.
for me, I don't carry that weight on my shoulders. All I can control is what I can physically control, right? And obviously, I always believe that the upper power, I believe in, you know, my upper faith with God and,
exactly.
you know, just thinking things will work out a certain way. So, I mean, I love that it's positive vibes only. I love that you especially address bullying. We know how big of an issue that is. Now, I know I was just talking to my little sister about that because it was actually at her school here in Maryland at Clarksburg High School where the young man brought a gun to school. And luckily the security staff was able to find out about it before anything could happen. But, you know, now
that her school.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? And kids now are thinking of violence, you know, to solve bullying issues. And we've all been bullied
exactly.
before. But, you know, it's having to help find a way to solve it. And hopefully, I mean, I really hope, hopefully one day people won't be able to bully because, we'll know, our differences make us stronger and you won't pick on
right.
somebody else just because they're different from you. So I think your YouTube channel is great. I hope people definitely tune in, and congrats to you, especially on starting that. And I will definitely
look
forward to tuning in with that. And now tell me a little bit more about what you do with the Ivy League Network, because I feel like that's a network that maybe not a lot of people know about.
Yeah, so it actually, I work with them with soccer, since I do have a huge background in soccer.
Yes.
And I do color analyst for games, specifically for Princeton University men's and women's soccer team. And then throughout the rest of the year, obviously helping out with them whenever they need sideline reporting
right.
or anything like that. So it has been a great experience and has led me to meet some awesome people.
Right.
And it just allows me to work in different aspects of sports. And that's something I know you definitely going through this career in this field, is that you have to be so versatile and well-balanced in what you're doing. So you can't just be a writer or just an on-camera personality. And that's something that I really try to do day in and day out, is making sure that I have so many different aspects of experience. And that's something that I've been fortunate to get the opportunity to do with them. And it has been a great, great experience for sure.
Yeah. Right. I mean, like you said, I mean, both of us, you have to be versatile, right? You can never be placed into one box. So that just obviously adds to, you know, you have a greater repertoire of your talent. And obviously, congrats to you on that. In the Ivy League, you're working with all the smart student-athletes,
yes.
which I know is a blast. And I like that you cover soccer, especially that you played soccer, because I know, especially, I mean, an African-American woman playing soccer, I know, is not a sight that people get to see every day. So I really love that you come from also a different background into broadcasting, you know, because we see so many broadcasters that come kind of from the sports of like basketball, you know, and even volleyball. But, you know, you don't see, I feel like you don't get to get a lot of, especially African-American women in soccer, into broadcasting. So I feel like you're just continuing to pave the way. So also congrats to you on that.
Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, we could spend a whole show on soccer in general, and the experiences of that, because that is definitely never a dull moment.
I'm sure. I am sure. And hopefully you'll get me more into soccer. It's a sport, Renee, I'll be honest with you, I'm trying to get more into. I'm pretty good when it comes to the World Cup, but other than that, I'll be honest with you, I do not follow soccer enough. You know, it's just something I didn't grow up with. But I do like the sport, I will say, and I played in first grade, and then after that, yeah, it wasn't the thing for me.
You retired young.
Exactly, right? But I still have love for soccer, so I do plan to dedicate more time. But now, Renee, I know you're up in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, but I hope you don't mind starting my show with the Doing It Big in the DMV segment, since my show is based here in the District of Columbia area. I always like to talk about the teams here, and I want to talk right now about the Washington Wizards, since, of course, they're in season, and they're in play, and there has been a lot of talk about them because we are currently the fifth seed in the East, but basically everyone's been talking about the Wizards, of course, because the superstar John Wall is out, and everyone's trying to see if they can still be this powerful team, right, without John Wall. So just on your overall, what you've seen in the Washington Wizards, I mean, how well of a job do you think they've been able to do without John Wall?
Well, the tough thing is, and I know when I saw this as one of the topics,
mm-hmm.
it was something that was very interesting to me because I actually feel like I end up talking about the Wizards a lot with people.
Okay.
I live because in my area, the Sixers are huge, but I'm also a Cavs fan. So for me, I have different perspectives about the Wizards from the Cavs and the Sixers. And personally, the Wizards' issues are beyond just John Wall. So his injury only makes it worse. They have notoriously been a team that throughout the regular season does well. They end up a top seed in the East. Get the playoffs. They can't beat the Celtics. They can't beat the Cavs. Done. So regardless if he's injured or not, and I know right now it's tough. They dropped the fifth spot in the East, and he has been out. And obviously they're trying to get him back, but I don't know, coming back from knee surgery and everything, I'm not sure exactly the timetable, because you want to get him back healthy, and you want to get him back to make sure he does not get injured again.
Right.
So that is tough, but I think it's not even a John Wall issue. It's a Washington Wizards issue. They do not have the depth that they need to have, and they do not have the well-rounded contribution from starters beyond just John Wall and Bradley Beal to their bench players, so that when they do get in those games versus the Celtics or the Cavs, and that's the team they have to beat. So I hate to be so specific about just those two teams, but that is their competition. I mean, obviously, looking on the West, there are teams that they have to compete with, but if you don't even get out of the Eastern Conference
final,
then that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So it stretches way beyond John Wall. I know fans want to just focus on that because that's the most obvious pressing issue right now, is getting him back. But they have to look at the program as a whole moving forward. How is this franchise going to be a team that can win the East?
Right. And I love that you said that because, in D.C., everybody knows the Wizards, yes, the regular season, they do fairly well. We know we're going to be over the 500 mark. But when we get to the postseason, it's always the same exact thing. And like you said, you have to get past Cleveland. And now with Kyrie, and even before Kyrie, I mean, you had to get past Boston. But with Kyrie, they're so much stronger of a team. So now, I mean, you have two dangerous teams. And, yes, the Wizards, I feel like it's going to be that same point again. But then also, yes, John Wall will come back. But my problem is, like you said, you cannot rush him back. John Wall is a great player because of his explosive speed. I mean, when John Wall gets to going, there's pretty much nothing you can do when he starts running towards the basket. He's a fast, explosive player. So, of course, his knee problems, that does worry me. So, of course, I do not want him to be rushed back in. And, yes, the Wizards have Bradley Beal, who's been really doing a great job, I think, while
definitely.
He has been out. You know, Bradley Beal will get you your points. He's always been a shooter, right? When you're playing pickleball, Bradley Beal was your shooter. But Thomas Inoranski has stepped in for John Wall, but he's not that same player. I mean, and as you said, it's not just a John Wall problem, it's a team problem. I like that you mentioned the starters, because Marcin Gortat, I have a bone to pick with him, Renee, because his production has went down a lot since John Wall has been out. And he was one of the people we've been talking about. Now we're playing team basketball with John Wall out. But since he went down, he's only averaging now 7.5 points per game and 45.9% shooting from the field. I mean, the Wizards rely on him so much. I mean, it was easy when John Wall was there. It was easy pick and roll to the basket. You know, Gortat would make the basket. But Thomas Inoranski, he's not that same type of player. So now Gortat isn't getting those same touches, which means he needs to be more aggressive to get the ball.
Right.
So the Wizards can get those easy points in the paint. And then it doesn't help that Jan Mahinmi also, I mean, he played great in February. I think it was his best playing since he's been a Wizard, but his production has went down. And now the last games, I mean, it's like if he's not getting quick fouls, he's really not being productive at all on the offensive boards. So you're right. It's not just John Wall's production. The Wizards as a team have to step up. And then Otto Porter, hello, all that money you make, you better get some baskets in and you better be productive, and as well as Markieff Morris. I don't even know sometimes where he is. It's a bigger problem, I think, like you, bigger than John Wall. And, of course, if you want to get past Cleveland and you want to get past Boston, you better get those team issues fixed if you even have a chance to compete in the East. And right now, that fifth seed, you definitely want to be higher than that. So they have some work to do.
Definitely.
Really make some noise in the East. Go ahead.
I agree.
Perfect. Well, you know, I'm already depressed now talking about the Wizards. Hopefully they change it around, but to get on a more positive note, for the college basketball fans, oh my gosh, Selection Sunday, always one of the best days of the year, in my opinion. And of course, this year, though, Renee, I mean, some people weren't too happy with the new format that the selection show did. So again, we're talking NCAA, right? We're in March. March Madness fever is here. Everyone's starting to fill out their brackets. But if people didn't watch Sunday's selection show, basically how they changed it was the teams were announced in alphabetical order, okay? And they were all introduced by 6:13 p.m. on Sunday. Now, that was not the format that they did before to reveal the 68 teams. And a lot of people were just kind of lost with it, and they didn't like it. A lot of people expressed their, you know, opinions on social media. Even the Lawrence Police Department in Kansas actually had to send out a tweet to say, please do not call 911 to complain about the new format of the NCAA tournament selection show. They're like, we can't do anything about it, no matter how bad it is. So just tell me from your opinions. I mean, what did you think of the overall new format? And do you think if it's not broke, just don't fix it? Just go back to what it was before.
Yeah, and that's the best way to put it. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. Why are we changing the way that the NCAA selection show is? And every year it's exciting because you get to see the team, who they play, what bracket they're in, where they're going to be playing. Done. Not this whole, like, slowly go through each team. And I don't understand the point of it. Are we supposed to now celebrate them that they got in and then celebrate them again for who they play? Like, it's supposed to be all one big emotional thing. Like, it's not supposed to be split up. And I remember actually – I mean, I didn't play college basketball, obviously, but in college soccer, my team made the NCAA tournament 3 years, and that was our first time ever making it. And for us as a small program, it was exciting because you just got to see your – like, we didn't know if we were in 1 year. The other 2 years, we won our conference, so we knew we were in. But you just got to – you had your moment, and that was it. There was no, like, we're in, let's all clap and cheer, and then let's clap and cheer again when we realize who we play and where we're going to be playing.
Right.
And for the teams that know that they're already in, what is the point of all this? So I think it's only as exciting for those bottom teams, the teams that have to either play to get in the top 64 or those bottom teams that got an at-large bid. For everyone else, it's just – it truly is a waste of time.
It really was. And I was just – I mean, I was just mad watching it. And that's why I let social media do the talking, because I knew I wasn't the only one. And if you logged on and saw it, I'm like, I don't know why in the world they did it. It was perfect before, because like you said, don't make my nerves bad twice. Just do it at one time. So I think after all the complaints I got, though, hopefully, of course, next March Madness, we won't have to go through this again. But let's start to get into the team's talk. So one of the big notables was, of course, Coach K, who you can never doubt against. He reached the NCAA tournament for the 23rd consecutive season, tying Dean Smith for the longest streak by head coach in tournament history. I mean, are you at all surprised, of course, for Coach K? I'm sure it's a no, but, I mean, what he's done with that program, Renee, has just been tremendous. And obviously, I mean, Duke fans have a lot to be excited about. But, you know, let's go through the top seeds in each region. In the South, we have the Virginia Cavaliers. In the East, the Villanova Wildcats. In the Midwest, the Kansas Jayhawks. And in the West, the Xavier Musketeers. So tell me, any surprises there?
Well, for Xavier, I actually remember they were in the Atlantic 10. They joined the Atlantic 10 when I was in college, and that's the conference that we played in.
Right.
And it has notoriously been a group that was able to, you know, create these top teams. But for them to be a number one seed, that is shocking to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Big East now has two number one seeds of the tournament.
Right.
Like
it's
not the ACC, it's the Big East. So I think this is huge for the future of the way college basketball is moving, and very surprising. But then it also makes me look back at the fact that being the number one seed does add a lot of pressure, and it's something that I know Villanova specifically has struggled with. Obviously, they won the NCAA championship, but if you look at their last few years getting into the NCAA tournament, that's something that, as the number one seed, they have dropped the ball. But for Xavier, it makes you wonder, are they going to be able to step up to this pressure of being the top seed, or is this, you know, something that only adds pressure that they may not be able to handle?
Right. I mean, I think you're like everybody else is saying. They're out of all the number one seeds, they're the one that are expected to go down first. And as you said, the Big East, Renee, nobody would have guessed, I don't care who you're talking to at the beginning of the season, that the Big East would have two number one seeds in the NCAA tournament, right? No one can tell me that they thought that. Like you said, ACC is basketball. Now, the old Big East, probably, right? When it was old school Big East basketball. But this year, I mean, Villanova's always good, right? What they do with their program, okay. But Xavier kind of, and then even, honestly, Kansas. I'm not too worried about even Kansas this NCAA tournament season. They will not be going far in my bracket. But Virginia, I feel like they've kind of been the sleeper team. And they haven't got all the national media attention, but what a team that they have. And then here locally, they'll be playing UMBC, which is a team that a lot of people here were excited to get in. But it kind of sucks for those teams that get in, and then it's like, well, here's your prize. You know, you get to play the top team in the nation in Virginia.
Yes.
But Villanova, a lot of people have them winning it. And, I mean, I don't think you can doubt Villanova. But as you said, those number one seeds, those games are always great because you just – never know what can happen. It's always sometimes those Cinderella teams, you know, that can mess it up. And that's why I like basketball. In basketball, honestly, nothing is promised, because all it takes is sometimes is that one star player that can forever, you know, change a game. But that's why we love March, right? Because all
the
craziness.
The madness.
The madness, right? Okay, now let's go to the South region, where the big teams, of course, I said Virginia, they're the number one. Then we have Creighton, Kentucky, Arizona, Miami, Tennessee, Nevada, and Cincinnati. Now, of course, the big schools that people are talking about in that region, a lot of people are saying, Renee, that Arizona is the most dangerous four seed right now in the tournament, because what a season Arizona has had. And then also Cincinnati at that number two seed, watch out in the South region. Out of those teams, are there any teams that you think, who would you pick out of those teams to win that region?
Oh, gosh. I'm, like, awful when it comes to March Madness. And
me
and you
both.
And my bracket busts every year.
Yeah, mine busts early.
Very early, like round two. You know, I have enjoyed watching Arizona this year. And I definitely think they are a program that has the ability to make some noise. I don't know who wins this out of this region. I have no idea. But
it's a hard one.
Also, it is. It really is. Cincinnati, coming out of the American Conference, you know, they're a team that also has had a good history in the postseason and has gone far.
Yep.
So that's something. And the tough thing is with March Madness in general is that you get the teams that are used to being in the NCAA tournament, the teams that are your Cinderella teams that none of us can predict and will randomly have a tremendous run. And then those teams that every year, like a Wichita State or whoever, Gonzaga is another team that always is always right there.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't win, but they're always right there, Elite Eight, Final Four, making a good run.
Right.
But out of this group,
it's
I have no idea.
Because think about it. You have Virginia, Arizona, and Kentucky all on one side. All on one side, which is not fair.
I can't go against Kentucky. I struggle going against them once it comes to NCAA tournament time, because they obviously also are a program that has a great history of not only being a top team in the NCAA, but producing NBA caliber players. So
And
that's something that, in my opinion, is what separates those teams that are able to win a championship versus teams that can just make a good run. So that's partly why I think actually Villanova does struggle when it comes to tournament time, because they're a great program, but you need those players that are game changers that can step up, knock down those big shots, actually like they did to win the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, remember that.
But every other, I mean, without that year, Chris Jenkins hit the shot. Other than that, they haven't had that. But I think Kentucky is a team that produces those types of players that can step up and win games, crunch time, game on the line in a big environment. So I'm going to go maybe now with Kentucky. I think that's where I'm leading now.
I mean, I can't, like you said, you cannot doubt against Kentucky. I mean, they're a basketball program, right? And I like the point that you made about Villanova. I mean, who can forget Josh Hart and that shot? I mean, and he's also a local guy here from the DMV area. But, I mean, and that's honestly what March Madness is all about, right? Those players stepping up in a big-time game. because it can make a big difference. But Kentucky, I do like Kentucky, but at this region, I usually don't go with the number one seed, and I'm horrible at brackets, so no one should take – do not listen to me if you're filling out a bracket. But I don't know, I really do like Virginia. I really feel like they're a team that people haven't been watching, but just from seeing a couple of their games, I do think that they're a dangerous team. But honestly, all disclaimer, I was watching earlier, there's a guy who does his bracket based on the mascots, and he's actually done pretty good every year.
Wow.
So maybe that'll be my new thing, because I never – when I do it based on basketball,
wow,
it's like it never works out. So maybe that'll be what I do.
Yeah, what
sometimes you just have to do random,
strategy.
Right? All right, now let's go to the East region, where, of course, we have Villanova, who we talked about, and then Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Wichita State, Florida, Texas Tech, Arkansas, and Purdue are the top teams in that region. Are there? I know you kind of already discussed Wichita State. I mean, like you said, they're a great program. They seem to always get there. But out of those schools that I named that are the top seeds playing in that division, which one scares you the most?
I think I will have to go with West Virginia.
Yeah, always another good program all the time.
Yeah, always a top program. And I think that they actually are, like, I was actually pretty surprised by that, by their number five seed.
Yeah, they're
so
five.
Yeah, I think that that is something that actually will help carry them, because when you are seated lower than you should be or were expected to be, you have
right.
that edge that you're out to prove something. And
right.
so, in my opinion, they already have a strong team, and I think that they have that little bit of edge, or whatever you want to call it, will
mm-hmm.
help carry them through. So I'm going to go with West Virginia Mountaineers, I think.
Okay, hey, I mean, it's March Madness time, right? Nothing can be for sure, but I like you, West Virginia, I mean, what they've done with that program, they seem to always somehow be those – provide those upset wins and get pretty far in the tournament. So I do like them. But Wichita State, I mean, you already mentioned it earlier, what they're always able to do, I mean, I'm always amazed at their basketball skills. But Villanova, I know they're kind of fighting for that respect, and they want to be back national champions. So, I mean, Villanova, you do, of course, have to watch out for. But I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like Villanova isn't going to come out of that as a number one seed. But it'll be interesting to watch. And now I want to move to the Midwest.
Definitely.
Region where we have Kansas, which is another great program, of course, which provides great NBA players. We have Seton Hall, Clemson, Auburn, TCU, Michigan State, Rhode Island, and, of course, Duke. So out of those teams, I mean, who are you kind of leaning towards to win that region?
Oh, I'm definitely thinking Duke and Kansas at the top of this group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I'm going to also lean more towards Duke.
Right. I mean, can you count against Coach K?
No, and that is something that, along with having the talent and the NBA caliber players that are game changers, you have to have a coach that knows what they're doing. And a lot of times these games do come down to coaching. Which
right.
coach knows, like, what the offense to run, which is the best, who should have the ball in their hands, the best play to run. You don't
right.
have a lot of time to think. You know, a lot of this stuff is on the fly, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to win this game based on what the other team's throwing at you. And I think Coach K, without a doubt, and I don't have to justify this because everybody knows his history, but
mm-hmm.
he is a different level coach, and I think
right.
that is what makes Duke so successful.
Right. And as you said, I mean, and this hurts me to say because, you know, I'm a Terp, but Duke, of course, I mean, they have a great program, and I mean, Grayson Allen, let's be honest, I mean, he wants to go out, you know, with a bang. So, I mean, I'm expecting
yeah.
some huge things from him with Duke, but I mean, just the program that he's had. Yeah, go ahead.
And he's also matured, in my opinion, as a player. He
mm-hmm.
was always a very good player, but he was
right.
a very emotional player,
yes.
which is not a bad thing. It just has to
right.
be channeled properly. So
yes.
you can't kick players, or you can't
right.
throw,
you, can't
you know,
be
cheap
Grayson. But right, put it into your shot. You know, put it into your pick and rolls. When
exactly.
you set it to the screen, like, right, put your emotion elsewhere. And like you said, I mean,
exactly.
he has matured. And really, let's be honest, he became a great player. His freshman year, you weren't even thinking about Grayson Allen
no.
Until, you know, the postseason when he really made a name for himself. And now, I mean, he's literally going to go down as a Duke legend. And that's
yeah.
not easy to do, you know, at a school like Duke where you've had many greats before you. So, I mean, I think he's, of course, I can't count against them, but I will say I'm really interested to watch Rhode Island because, of course, they're a program that I'm sure many people don't get a chance to watch, but wouldn't that be something? And then, of course, Michigan State, I mean, in the Big Ten, you can't count against them because they also, I feel like,
no.
always usually have a good program. But now we will go on down to the West, where, of course, Xavier is our number one. Missouri is another top seed at number 8. Ohio State at 5. Gonzaga, as we talked about earlier, at 4, Houston at 6, Michigan at 3, 7 is Texas A&M, and 2, of course, North Carolina. So who are you expecting to come out of this region?
Another tough
one. That's a hard one, too, right?
It is. It really is. So I'm actually going to say, obviously, North Carolina has another team that's had a tremendous postseason history and coming back into it as champions. But I'm actually going to go with Gonzaga.
Okay.
I think they're another team that when it comes postseason time, and they're always ready to go come NCAA tournament time. And I think they're also seated a little lower. I know number 4 is high, but for Gonzaga and the season that they had. But I definitely think that they're a team that out of this group, them, and I'll say, of course, North Carolina, that will be able to make a good run.
Right. And, I mean, this is another one, as you said. I mean, North Carolina, Roy Williams, I mean, how can you ever count against him, right? Kind of like Duke. They're a basketball school, and they have great shooters. But, I mean, Gonzaga, they're always a great program. Ohio State might even bring it. Michigan is also a school. This one is really a tough one to me, too, as well. I mean, but that's why we love March Madness, right? Because you really just do not know who is going to come out. But I'm like you. Watch out for Gonzaga and North Carolina in that division. But that's a good one. I can't wait, you know, for everything to get started. But now I want to go to, of course, with the good, we also have the bad. And, Renee, a lot of people have been talking about the snubs. So some of the schools that people thought got snubbed, of course, was Middle Tennessee, Notre Dame, Southern California, St. Mary's, Marquette, and Louisville, as well as Oklahoma State. Now, I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of these teams during the season. It seemed like Middle Tennessee is the one that has kind of the most support, and, of course, Notre Dame. I mean, isn't it weird just talking about Notre Dame and not being in a tournament? It's just weird to even think about, right, because they're also a school that has been basketball-heavy. But just kind of thinking with you, I mean, do you think they got it right, or do you think that these schools, any one of them, got snubbed?
Well, that is the – when I was looking at the NIT brackets, too, and I'm seeing teams like Notre Dame in there, it is
weird.
It's definitely weird to see. But, I mean, it just goes back to the fact that programs are changing. And even looking at Louisville, aside from everything going on the court, everything that's going on off the court, you know that's a distraction. It's something that they're constantly in the news for. And it's not good press. It's bad press going on, bad conversations. You know, their banner was removed. All this drama, and the clearest way I can say it, all this drama is going on. So you know that takes away from what they're doing on the court. So I'm actually not surprised at all that they did not even reach the NCAA tournament, because I think this is a year that everything else kind of overpowered and outweighed what they were doing on the court. They'll have to take a year or two to recover, get back, and get back into Louisville's ways of where they were as being a NCAA champion, even though that banner has been removed. They still won. But
we still remember it.
Yeah, we still all remember that game very clearly. But I just think it's showing a shift in how NCAA basketball is moving. And it's always been an ACC powerhouse. And then you have a Gonzaga that comes in and does well, and a Wichita State, who's a Cinderella team. But Wichita State and Gonzaga are now front runners for making, as like Gonzaga made last year, the Final Four. Xavier, another program, obviously they're now the number one seed, but they have slowly been climbing up that ladder, starting back when they were dominating in the Atlantic 10 to now being a Big East team. They've been growing their program. They've been creating, you know, high-level NBA-type players. And it's just slowly shifting that these other schools are now being able to catch up with the Duke, North Carolina, you know, those types of schools, because, A, they're keeping players in their schools for 4 years, which I know this
which
is a whole other subject.
Difference.
A whole other subject you can get into. But if you look at, like, a Kentucky or Duke, these schools are constantly changing players every year. Five guys going to the draft, going to the league. And I think that's part of the issue that we're having. Those, quote-unquote, mid-level conference schools are now the schools that are having juniors and seniors with all that experience and have the confidence and have really worked through their freshman and sophomore ways to now be able to lead their teams. So I think that we're actually seeing a change. It's beyond just those teams not making the NCAA tournament. We're seeing a change in college basketball as a whole.
Right. And I love that you said that, because as you said, I mean, now honestly, every game counts. I know a coach is going to say that, but they're looking at all of those wins and all of those losses. And so,
yes,
like you said, I mean, Louisville, they were great, right? They were 20-13, 9-9 in the ACC. But, I mean,
mm-hmm,
I still remember that buzzer beater loss they had to Virginia back on March 1st, and that hurt.
Right.
And then even the ACC tournament, you have to remember that. And then also, they only had three top 50 wins. If you're beating
exactly
these no-name schools and you're just barely beating them, I'm sorry, but guess what? That's not going to count. I mean, the committee means competitive basketball, right, when it comes
exactly
to March Madness. And Notre Dame, I mean, I know you've been in there, but guess what? We're looking at what have you done right now, right? It's not what have you done
yep
in the past. And if you guys haven't shown up, I'm sorry, but then guess what? It is what it is. I mean, you
yep
have to take all of those things into account. And of course, I mean, Notre Dame, I know those fans are mad, but hey, maybe they'll win the NIT. I mean, that's still, hey, it still could be a win. And then of course, St. Mary's, I mean, the same thing, I could go through all of these schools, but again, you have to look at the strength of the schedule. And then again, you have to look at those wins. You have to look at the quality of those wins. Now, Middle Tennessee,
exactly,
I mean, I feel for them, and I know the coach, you know, didn't agree. He said, you know, he thinks they have a Sweet 16 team. But at the same time, I mean, I'm honestly not too mad with the committee this year. I know that usually doesn't always happen, but I'm pleased with it. And as you said, I mean, I think we're in for a good one. I think the teams that we ran through, it'll be a good March Madness. So I just tell everybody, I mean, hey, there's always next season for those teams that
yeah
didn't get in.
And another thing is these coaches that are at these programs are
mm-hmm
setting their schedules up so that they can
mm-hmm
be able to tell players that they're recruiting, hey, look, maybe we're not a Duke, we're not a UNC, we're not a Notre Dame, but we're going to put those teams on our schedule, and we're going to get to that point. So
right
now when they actually schedule these top 25 teams and they
right
do well against them, they get power rankings, in the end that obviously helps more than if you're a top team in your conference playing no one, or even
right
if you're in a top conference and you're not getting enough power points. So I think what the other side of it is from a coach's perspective is they are going out of their way to try to compete with these top teams by scheduling them, bringing in, and, you know, as you're bringing in players,
right,
telling them, you know, we're going to get to the point of being an Elite 18. If you come to our team, you know, you'll be here for 2-3 years, whatever, we're going to get to the point of being an Elite 18 in your career. So
right
we're seeing, like you mentioned with these teams, they have to put in the work. You have to have not only the record and standings, but you have to have the wins and the quality wins to get
right
into the NCAA tournament. You can't just coast on your name and your past history.
Nope. And I mean, and some teams, I think, forget that, right? I mean, all
mm-hmm
of that stuff matters, and the committee is looking at every single thing. And obviously, you know, that one win against a great school makes a difference. You know, even if it's a one-point win, then you winning by 30 against a school, you know, that isn't a top 50 team. I mean, who cares
exactly
about it, obviously, especially, you know, obviously because it wasn't a competitive match to begin with. So, yes, you should have beat that team, you know, that you were scheduled to beat. So I'm like you. I mean, I feel for them, but, hey, think about it for next season. Okay,
yep.
Renee, we can't forget about the ladies. So no surprise here, but UConn is, of course, the top seed in the women's basketball NCAA tournament for the 12th consecutive year. So let me just be honest and frank with you, Renee. Can UConn be beat this year in the tournament?
UConn women's basketball, my goodness. You know, I think it's hard to even look at the NCAA women's basketball bracket and really consider
mm-hmm
a lot of the teams because UConn is such a powerhouse.
Right.
And I don't know, but again, I wouldn't have expected last year for the tournament
right
to turn out the way it did and for South Carolina to end up winning, but I don't know. I don't think it happens 2 years in a row is
right
my thought process. And I
right
I think that last year was not a fluke. It was well-deserved.
Mm-hmm.
But head coach Gino is definitely back and ready to go to win another championship.
I mean, you can't count against Gino, I mean, at all. At
no
all. And obviously what UConn does, I mean, Gabby Williams and, I mean, what do you have, Katie Lou. It's just, oh, my gosh. It just seems like, I mean, every single time they get everything right, right? Like, if you literally watch
mm-hmm
the game, I mean, they play the game right. And as you said, I mean, last year it was a surprise that South Carolina won, but I was happy for it because I think you always
oh, yeah
need a good champion, because that's what makes March Madness fun, is that you just don't know who's going to win. And then I will say another number one seed, though, for the women, of course, is Mississippi State. And who can forget that run they had? Mississippi State had everybody tuning into women's basketball, which I was so proud to see it happen. So I think you still can have those Cinderella stories. It's going to be work. I do like Oregon as well. They're number two seed, and they've been playing some great basketball. They have a freshman that can just ball out. I mean, she broke somebody's ankles, I saw, in one play. So they might be a little bit dangerous. And, of course, Baylor is usually always a competitive program. But UConn, as you said, it's just hard to count against them. But at the same time, I don't want people to discredit them. Because guess what? If you're a good program and you keep winning, I mean, no one can count against you. I mean, Gino was able to continuously go into high schools and get those top recruits to come to school. So, of course, I mean, they're going to win, right, if you get all the top recruits. Coach K has the top three men on the men's side coming into Duke program. So, of course, Duke next year, of course, we're expecting them to be great. So it's kind of like UConn. You can't count against them. So, honestly, I think if people want more competitive women's basketball, it goes back to recruiting. Because there has to be a way. There has to be a way, right? I mean, UConn is great, but at the same time, it's in UConn, right? I think other schools can have the appeal that you might be in a better location, and you still could have a good program, right? And there's still so many great coaches. I went to Maryland. Brenda Freeze, is a legend, and she's able to get good quality players. But at the same time, it's hard to coach against Coach Gino and, what he gets the girls. Because pretty much, I feel like, Renee, if me and you are basketball recruits and Gino comes into our house to recruit us, he's pretty much telling you, you're going to get a championship and you'll probably go to the WNBA or play overseas, right? Like, it seems like those are guarantees if you're playing on UConn's team. But
I remember even when I was going through the recruiting process, it was the year right after UConn men's and women's basketball teams won the NCAA tournament. And as a soccer player, I was like, aside from their soccer team, their basketball teams are very good, which means it's a great campus and a great environment. And I was considering going just to play soccer because of their basketball team. So I know for a fact an actual basketball player would. And I say this jokingly, but it was a very serious thought process. As an athlete, you want to be playing with the programs that have not only the top teams and players that have the best facilities and the best opportunities for you to grow as a player, for you to get to your point, your goals of being a professional player or whatever sport that you're playing. And UConn women's basketball has that history. They're undefeated. There's no way that I could see anybody knocking them off. Definitely not early. I know last year they lost in the Final Four to Mississippi State, which is still a shock. But I, again, cannot see them having that same upset this year.
Right.
But I do know it is tough. It is tough going undefeated in the regular season and then through the postseason. But if anybody can do it, and they've done it before,
it's UConn, right? I have nothing bad to say about them. But still, I'm still hoping that Cinderella team comes up. I mean, it was Mississippi State before. Maybe it'll be NC State this year. Maybe it'll be Florida State. Like, you just don't know. So also looking forward to the women's side. But now I want to go to my biggest headlines in sports, where Richard Sherman, Renee, is making a lot of headlines. Of course, who saw this coming? He is heading to the San Francisco 49ers. But I think the best part of this story is that he negotiated his own contract. That's right. No agent. Richard Sherman was able to negotiate his own contract. Of course, he's a former Seahawks cornerback. And with the 49ers, he is getting a 3-year, $39 million deal. So, when you hear that, a lot of people were happy. But then this is the part that surprised a lot of people. It almost includes no guaranteed money, but he will be getting a $3 million signing bonus. But pretty much, Richard Sherman will have to work for every penny and cent of that contract. And if you don't know about contracts, she always wants some guaranteed money, her cousin's news came out, will be getting. You want guaranteed money in your contract. So just tell me, what do you overall think of Richard Sherman and how he did negotiating his own contract with the 49ers?
Well, I have to first start off by saying that I don't know what is going on with the Seahawks in general, because I'm not sure if they're cleaning house right now. Michael Bennett, as you know, is now going to be playing with the Philadelphia Eagles. Richard Sherman is no longer – they, got rid of Richard Sherman, which I don't know how you ever
– I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see that coming at all. And now he's headed to the 49ers. So I'm not sure if this is a case where everyone is going to be either given a bad contract or, traded or whatever the case may be, except for Russell Wilson. I have no idea what's going on there, but I will say that Richard Sherman is someone that he has a right to be mad at the way that the Seahawks treated him and the way that they didn't even try to negotiate a better contract than the 49ers.
Right.
And it's disrespectful. And as a top athlete, as much as they are competitors on the field, they're also competitive with their money. So
yes.
If you're a top athlete, you want to get the best contract. And if you're going to take a pay cut for any reason, it has to be for a good reason. So maybe
right.
salary cap, they have to, you know, ask you to take a pay cut, kind of like the Warriors in basketball. Kevin Durant's
yeah.
getting paid less. Steph Curry,
right.
they're getting paid less because of the fact that they have all those superstars.
It's a superstar.
That's
right?
a good reason. That is mm-hmm. a good reason. But
right.
for Richard Sherman, there's no excuse for why they could not give him more money in Seattle than the 49ers were able to give him. And I don't blame him for going to the 49ers. You get to play the Seahawks twice a year. I know
mm-hmm.
fans are, like, burning his jerseys, and now they're
right. And he was like, why are y'all doing that?
Right. At the end of the day, it's business, too. Like, as much
right.
as we want to just say sports, it's also about business, and he has to do what's best for him and for his future. He's coming back off of an injury. And so that in itself, you don't know how he's going to come back. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
we want to assume he's going to come back stronger, but you
right.
never know. You never know. So he has to do what's best for him moving forward and getting the best financial deal with the best team that he possibly can.
Right. And like you said, he's coming off the Achilles injury, which we know is not the easiest thing to come back from. But again,
exactly.
I mean, the man burning his jerseys and stuff. First of all, I don't know how people do that because jerseys cost a lot of money. Best believe I will
yeah,
never
I would,
be
I would not do that.
I better get some money back, maybe, or sell it or something. She'd even eBay, but definitely not burning
uh-huh.
his jerseys. But he's a human being just like us, and who doesn't want their money? It's like you in any job that you want, right? If your old job isn't trying to keep you and you get a new job offer and they're offering you more money, I mean, most
mm-hmm.
people will get more money, especially if maybe there's no room for growth in your old position. So he gets to go to a new team. He has a chance to prove himself, and who knows what can happen. I mean, the 49ers, they've been changing things around. So who knows, I mean, how far they will get next season. But I'm like, people are being so mad about him now. I understand the negotiating part. He messed up with the no guaranteed money, but at the same time, it's
yes.
hard to get that when you're coming off an injury. People forget that. It's hard for people to want to guarantee you money, you know, when they, like you said, they don't know how you're going to come back. And Brown's offensive lineman, Joe Thomas, seemed to be the most critical. He pretty much said Sherman got absolutely crushed, he tweeted when he came out of the thing, because he said he actually thought that Sherman should have signed a one-year deal, Renee, instead of letting the 49ers sit on his rights for 3 years. So do you kind of agree with Joe Thomas that one-year deal would have been better than 3 years, or do you agree with Sherman kind of going for the longer-term deal?
Well, I do see that the 49ers are rebuilding, and obviously
mm-hmm.
they even after Chip Kelly, who has notoriously been ruining NFL franchises, they – and obviously I'm very bitter.
Right, I hear the Pennsylvania girl in you coming out.
But, I mean, they just signed a new franchise quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo or however you say
right,
his last
Garoppolo,
name.
Say that 10
Garoppolo,
times.
Whatever. but they are rebuilding, so why not, you know, put all your – put. It's not even – 3 years really is not that long in sports, but –
mm-hmm.
I think the three-year deal kind of, and even this is from a perspective of a teammate, a one-year deal, in my opinion, is kind of like, you're not really sure if you want to be here, so you're going to test us out for a season and then possibly leave. A
right.
three-year deal, in my opinion, is a good amount of time where you're saying, look, I'm bought in, I'm in part of this team, I'm going to help us build, and then you can always add on to it. But even signing that three-year deal is not you being hesitant. You're all in.
Right.
And I think for him, I would take the three-year deal for sure.
Okay. So you
I mean,
agree
at this
Sherman.
Point, yeah, I do agree with him. At this point, you know, he wants to do get in somewhere and be able to help that program get back to what he led the Seahawks to being, you
mm-hmm.
know, a Super Bowl caliber team. So I'm all for it. I do also think that for him, it is a good move. And he has been very openly outspoken about salaries in the NFL. So
right.
that's
I mean,
also something that
right.
I'm not the least bit surprised about that. Ironically, he's the one that's having this issue because he has been openly protesting about NFL players as a whole getting paid more. So
mm-hmm.
why not take the deal that he gets paid more?
Right. And that's why, I mean, like you said, Richard Sherman is outspoken, right? You always know what's on Richard Sherman's mind. And that's
yeah.
honestly how he got introduced to the world. I mean, who can forget? After the Super Bowl that, you know, his infamous interview with Aaron Andrews. But Richard
mm-hmm.
Sherman, I think he's a smart man. He knows what he's doing. Joe Thomas, I just say, you know, do your own thing. Why are you even worried about Sherman. But as you said, I mean, they have Jimmy G on the offensive side, and you have Sherman on the defensive side. I think the 49ers are definitely trying to build up something, and I think they're going in the right direction. I mean, Richard Sherman, you can't count against him. I mean, a lot of times people were afraid to throw in his direction, and I think that's what the 49ers So it'll be fun to watch. Now I want to switch back to the basketball side, where we had Isaiah Thomas going against his former team earlier in the week, and this was a huge thing because who can forget all the drama with the Cavs and IT's exit? Oh my gosh, I didn't think it would ever end, but Isaiah Thomas, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists. Pretty good, I think, when you go against your old team. And Kyle Kuzma actually said that Thomas throughout the game was barking at Cleveland's bench. So it seemed like obviously he was feeling it, and he was making sure Cleveland knew. And he even said that Thomas had words every time he scored. And he went on to reference basically that it kind of fits the Lakers' motto. You know, that basically he said Thomas tried to kill Cleveland during the game.
Yeah.
With that in mind. And basically, I mean, but who, when you're going against your former team, you pretty much are expected, right, to show up and show out, Renee. So I feel like that's what Isaiah Thomas did. And now he's in LA. He's like, hey, y'all left me, but this is what y'all lost. But obviously, it wasn't working with him in Cleveland. So it's good to see that it seems like to be working better with Los Angeles. So what did you think about Isaiah Thomas going against the Cavs?
There is so much to say here. So I'm going to start off by saying, first and foremost, and this is something that even with the Richard Sherman issue with the Seahawks move to the 49ers, Isaiah Thomas moved from Cleveland to the Lakers.
Right.
And I think everyone always we focus too much on the fact that, oh, his team didn't want him, or, oh, he's mad, you know, he's playing against his former team, so he's going to have, you know, it's a revenge game. But at the end of the day, these guys are, it is still business. They are still competitors. So, yes, I'm sure Isaiah Thomas felt some kind of way about the fact that Cleveland did not even keep him for a full season and that they cleaned house and he was part of that move.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't even know how much Cleveland really wanted him. And I know that that's not, I'm a Cavs fan, obviously, so, or I should say LeBron fan. So it's tough for me to say that, but when the Kyrie Irving move first happened, it seemed as though they had to do something. Obviously,
right.
You can't trade Kyrie Irving and get nothing out of it.
Right.
Isaiah Thomas is someone that the Celtics felt like he was not going to ever be able to rehab back to his full ability, that he wasn't going to get back to being as good as he was. They had kind of given up on him. So the Cavs, I'm not going to say they took him out of pity because that's too harsh, but they took him out of getting the best deal possible for what was going on. And that was him, Green, you know, Crawford. So they had to get something.
Right.
And I do think that he did not work with the Cavs. And that's part of the issue is that from the beginning, they already are a defensive team that struggles.
Right.
And you bring in Isaiah Thomas, who, for as great of a player as he is, he has a lot of defensive liabilities, especially in the midst of the NBA is now with 5 guards that can run the ball, rebound, defend, that are good, you know, a Russell Westbrook type player, James Harden type player. Isaiah Thomas is not that. So I don't think he fit for what the Cavs were looking for. And I, even knowing some of the conversations I've had with, you know, why'd they get rid of him and Dwayne Wade and all, they literally cleaned house with their trades, but it's because they kind of were just set up with these players that they didn't really want in the program. That didn't really fit in the program, I should say.
Right.
So I think for Isaiah Thomas, and I saw the video of LeBron hugging his son before the game and everything. And, you know, you hear and see all the different chatter about, you know, how he was playing, how he played so well and everything. But good for him. You know, why not step up, like you said, and show out against your former team?
Right.
And he definitely did. He definitely did. I don't think he showed the Cavs what they're missing. I just think he showed the Cavs that he's still a good player too.
Right,
but
right.
At the end of the day, it's still business and sports. It's still a competition. You still
it
want
is.
To have the best team.
It is.
And everyone's going to overlook this one game. The Lakers obviously won. They had a great fourth quarter. Isaiah Thomas was a big part of that. So good for him that he had that game. But it's such a long season. And this is why even with the Wizards, going back to them, our very first topic, you take it all with a grain of salt because none of it matters until we get to the playoffs.
It's true. It's true. But I will say the only reason I was really happy for Isaiah Thomas going against the old team, because honestly, Renee, when I was watching that game, he looked a little bit like when he was playing for the green and white team. Yes, the Celtics. I mean, because he was hitting those open jump shots, those pull up jump shots that in Cleveland looked like he wasn't able to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, I know he did turn the ball over, but still he had a better handle of it. He was passing it to open teammates. I mean, he was really looking pretty, pretty good. And I think that's what we wanted to see, because Isaiah Thomas, let's be honest, I mean, he had a rough year and a rough season. I mean, you know, as you said, he was coming back from the injury. He lost his sister. He had a lot going on, I think. And who even knows, you know, what's fully even probably still, you know, he's battling with. And in Cleveland, I mean, let's be honest, too, he was around a bunch of superstars as well. And it's also sometimes harder to stand out, you know, when you are with other greats just like you. And obviously, Cleveland thought they could do kind of what Golden State did, but it didn't work the same, even though we thought they had the superstar name. So I think the trade worked out for him. I mean, I know he probably didn't like how it went down. And let's be honest, I mean, it's a brotherhood. I know there was bickering and stuff, but I think at the end of the day, all
really
those guys
care.
Are still right. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, yes, it's kind of like, you know, you're always going to be bad with your brother or sister, right? But at the end of the day, you still love them. You know, I think that's what it is. But, of course, I mean, I think, you know, for headlines and basketball news, it always feels a bit better, right, when you get to go, when you get to really show out against somebody, you know, that you used to be with. It's kind of like when you have an ex, right, and you see them again and you're with maybe someone that looks better or smarter or whatever you want to say. You know, it's always nicer sometimes, you know, just to be show that you've upgraded or that you've gotten better. And I think that's what Isaiah Thomas did. And I don't think anybody can blame him for that. But as you said, it doesn't matter until we get to the postseason. So hopefully he keeps, you know, showing out for the Los Angeles Lakers, because let's be honest, I mean, he really needs to find a team that he can stay with and that really that he can contribute to.
I think
so
he makes some good points. Definitely. And that's actually what the entire – everything going on with the trade from Cleveland and Los Angeles really stood out for me was I heard talk about how he had spent all this time to find a school for his kids. He had just signed a school for his kids and then was traded. And, like, the transition from Boston to Cleveland was so hard for him to get settled into a house and everything. So that's from the personal side of things, as a person, as a man, as a father, that is hard for me to hear. But I do think that the Celtics gave up on him. The Cavs were kind of a stepping stone for him to help rehab. And that's something they said from the beginning. You know, we're going to get him back to being at the point he was before and getting him back strong.
Right.
They were a stepping stone. They were just – and I hate to say it like that, but – they were a spot for him to get back into it. He was slowly training again, slowly worked his way back into the game. But the Lakers are a better fit for him. Him with LeBron, Kyle Korver, Kevin Love, it doesn't work as well as him being – I know right now he's coming off the bench for the Lakers. But what he can
which
do
is funny
that
because he didn't want to do that. Remember, his agent was like, well, we don't want him coming off the bench.
Oh, yeah. His agent thinks very highly of him, which might be part of the reason why we've heard rumors about Isaiah Thomas being hard to play with. But he is someone that can help the Lakers program, like he did with the Celtics, to get back to where they're trying to get back to. And Magic is obviously, Magic Johnson's been huge with trying to get the Lakers back to being a top franchise out of the West.
Glory days,
so, exactly. So I think that is it's the best fit for him, honestly.
Right. That's why I'm like, let's just see how things pan out. Isaiah Thomas, you know, just keep doing what you do out in L.A. And speaking of players really making a comeback, Renee, now I want to go to Tiger Woods. Who, of course, on the golf side, people are saying, let's watch out for Tiger because he might be making a big comeback. I mean, first of all, he's been huge for the sport of golf because on Monday, NBC Sports released their audience numbers, right, from the Valspar Championship, where 42-year-old Tiger Woods almost came close to winning. Oh, my gosh. It was the first time in almost 5 years, people, that he almost came close to winning. And basically, Tiger was back, and guess what? So were the viewers. They drew a 5.11 overnight rating. It was a figure that is the highest non-major audience since the 2013 Players Championship that, guess what? Tiger Woods won, okay? And it's the highest non-Masters rating since the 2015 PGA Championship. So Tiger's back. Viewers are back. All seems to be pretty good. And it just also helps for me that he's not only back, but he's doing good. I mean, he is doing good. And that's what people, I think, wanted to see because I think everybody has been rooting for a Tiger Woods comeback. Of course, we all know about the divorce and how nasty things got back in 2010. But to see him back and to see him almost win and then the viewers bring back – you know, coming back to watch him. I mean, I think you can only continue to root for Tiger. And I don't think it won't be long before we see him winning one of these championships. So what do you think about Tiger and just how he's overall come back to the sport of golf and how people are really reacting to it and really tuning back into golf now?
Yeah, so I am not a golf fanatic or mm-hmm. expert by any means, so I will not even attempt to go into like his stats or anything because I will probably sound ridiculous. But I will say, as a fan of sports, I think that's mm-hmm. what Tiger Woods really attracts. You don't have to like golf to like Tiger Woods.
So
you don't
true.
Have to know golf to like Tiger Woods. And I think his comeback, and I know people were excited about the fact that, you know, he's back golfing at a high level, but it's not even just about what he's doing on the green and his wins and losses and the stats and putts or whatever else. It is actually about the fact that he has overcome so much. And we have seen his personal life on display regularly, broken down from his cheating to his divorce to even like the drugs and alcohol issues, being arrested. He has been in the news so much, and it's not for good things.
Right,
it's
for
not
the wrong things. Yep.
It's all for the wrong reasons. So I think right now what we're seeing is he brings a demographic, because I will wholeheartedly admit, and we all know this, golf is not a diverse sport at all. So he now brings in that demographic of minorities that are interested, that want him to do well. He also, in addition to already being one of the top golfers and highest paid athletes in the world, he also is now having the fact that he has gone through so much. So not only did people want to watch him before because he was so good, now they also want to watch him to see what is Tiger going to golf like after everything he's gone through.
Right. So everyone loves that comeback
story. And more people want to watch him now because they want to see, now that he had his entire life on display, was humiliated, was, we saw him crying and all types of things, and upset. Now what is Tiger going to do? Who is this Tiger Woods going to be? So I am not the least bit surprised. I am happy for him, because nobody, regardless, you know, how, you know, regardless what you do in your personal life, nobody should have to go through their life being on display like that and having people pick them apart, being in the press, headlining press. No one should have to go through that. Not that I think he was right in a lot of things that he did, but he still is a human being at the end of the day. So I am happy to see him coming back. And I know a lot of people that watched. Again, I'm not a huge golf fan, but I did tune in for a little. You know, I was following some stuff. Mm-hmm. So good for Tiger.
I'm like you. I mean, I know it's been so difficult, right? And as you said, I mean, we all saw what he was going through. But I love a comeback story, because we're all human and we all make mistakes. I'm like you. I'm not forgiving him for anything that he did. But the fact that he's putting in the work to get back to that level that he was at, I think that shows his dedication to his fans, his dedication to his craft, and his dedication to his story. He's not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's still writing his memoir. He's still writing his autobiography, and we see it continuously play out. So congrats to Tiger. I think next time you're going to get the big win. He will be playing at this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational, and then it's an event that he's won 8 times. So guess what? That might be the next one that he wins. It'll be interesting to see. So we are rooting for you, Tiger. Now, Renee, I have to switch to my Kelsey's Are You Serious Right Now segment, where there's somebody I'm not rooting for, and that's Mr. Odell Beckham Jr., because I do not – it's like every time I try to give the guy a break, something comes out or happens. So basically, just when you thought OBJ, you know, was having a quiet off season, right, like, oh, nothing's going to come on and nothing bad's going to come out, a video appeared on social media – that featured him. Now, the video wasn't a good video that you wanted to be featured in, because basically it showed Beckham in the bed with a woman with pizza. That wasn't the problem, people. And a credit card, but that also wasn't the problem. The problem was that it featured a white substance in the bed, and it also showed Beckham holding a type of brown cigarette. And to make matters worse, basically, the mystery woman actually came out, and she's basically kissing and telling she's a French model. And she basically told Page Six that she said she doesn't remember all of the evening. She just said that they met in a bar, and then they found themselves at a hotel room, okay? And they passed the night together. That's what she remembers of the night. So, of course, with OBJ and I mean, you being close to the New York area, we all know OBJ. I mean, he obviously considers himself the best receiver in the game. And right now, OBJ wants to get paid, right? I mean, he thinks he should be the highest paid wide receiver in the game. And right now he's heading into the fifth and final year of his rookie deal. So basically this is a make or break. And he said back in July, again, people actually said in July he wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL, period. So not even just talking about position-wise. He wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL, people, the whole league. So this video coming out probably couldn't have been at a worse time, especially with him coming off the injury and this coming out. So Renee, what did you think when you first saw this video? I mean, what was going through your mind?
Oh my goodness. I think that's all I was saying. Oh my goodness.
it's a video. I mean, it says it all.
Where do I begin? So OBJ drives me crazy because he has so much talent. Mm-hmm. He is such, and I it's not even about looks, but he is a very good looking man. Mm-hmm. So he has a great following. And that's the part mm-hmm. that kills me, because mm-hmm. he has the ability to be such a positive role model, such a great player for the Giants in the time that they need someone to step up. And he not only broke his ankle, and then we even saw the debacle last year of the yacht pictures of him, the Giants on the boat, and he was obviously at the center of that. Mm-hmm. But now this video that surfaces, it's painful on so many levels. One, I heard a French Instagram model.
Oh, right. That's a difference. There is a difference, people.
There is a difference. But I'm not trying to bash her at all, but I've heard she was a French Instagram model. So that in itself does give me some, I hate to say this, I don't want to judge people at all, but she and him met up at a bar. Say that you don't remember the night is dumb. Because mm-hmm. I don't know about, I know personally, and I'm sure you would agree with me, Kelsey, mm-hmm. every time I go out, I fully remember my night.
Oh, I better.
Ever not remember my night. Right. And even if I'm drinking a lot, I still remember my night. Now, what I've heard from my experience in 25 years is that when people don't remember, it's because they were either blacked out or drugged.
Right.
And there's no reason, like, you should have memory lapses to the point that you just miss whole periods of the night, that you just remember being at the bar and then ending up at a hotel. So you don't
right.
remember getting in a car.
Right, how did you get there? Right.
Who drove you? Who mm-hmm. got you into the hotel? None of that. And then even what he was saying in the video, I heard some of the words or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just so much. So many bad layers. The only good thing about it was the fact they were eating pizza, and I like pizza. Everything else is pretty bad.
It did look good. All the pepperonis on it and stuff. She
right.
was a big
like,
pizza
was
to two people.
Pizza at the end of the night out, but everything
just,
else was bad all the way
crazy.
Through. And then you add in the substance, which I've heard it was a document, like they doctored the picture and edited someone one back, and that's not the original picture. I've heard that, which to me doesn't make sense either, because it's a video, and I don't know who would go through those lengths to put that in there, but okay.
Right.
I've heard different things about what he was saying, about what he was holding, and then
right.
she, of course, said... She said he did not take drugs, but then didn't deny it. She's like back and forth on her story.
Right.
It's just not good
it's
at all.
It's a mess, basically.
All.
And I'm like you, Renee. So I don't care what it was, honestly. The powder substance I'm going to just go back. And I hate having to lecture athletes because they are grown men, and so is this
mm-hmm.
woman. But let's just it goes back to making smart decisions, okay? First of all, OBJ, you are worth a lot of money. And I don't even care if you're not worth a lot of money, but you just go to a bar and you meet a woman in a bar and then you just take her to a hotel room. And then all of a sudden, especially when you know you have basically a lot to lose in the sense that you are a celebrity, let's be honest, you let whoever took the video of you
yeah.
with these
yeah.
substances. And that's the thing, too. You have to be smart, okay? Athletes usually, for the most part, of course, they go through these lectures in college. They go through it from former players, but you have to make smart decisions. OBJ,
yeah.
why in the world are you even just doing these type of things? Now, I understand maybe he went to the bar and got a pizza with a girl, okay, and whatever.
Yeah, like that makes sense to me.
I'm even fine with that, but the fact that other things were involved that you know you shouldn't have with you, especially when all you're hearing about right now is all these big contracts getting signed and you want to be in those conversations, just why are you doing it in the first place? Because then guess what? We won't have these questions. And like you said, the fact that last season it was the yacht and then this season you get into more trouble, it's just no forgiveness. He's a grown man. And you know people are always watching. And honestly, you are the company you keep. You know, if
mm-hmm.
you're not hanging with the right people, you're not making the right decisions, that's up to you. But then don't be mad when stuff comes out and then people look at you and call you crazy and maybe not want to pay you because of the decisions that you made. No one made him go to that bar. No one made him get the pizza and whatever else was there. So I just make smarter decisions. I mean, I like that Chris Carter. I don't know if you saw, but Chris Carter was basically going off on him. He called him a little boy who was engaging in stupidness. He said he was so disappointed in him. But I think that's what we all are. We're disappointed because we know he's such a great player with a promising career. But
yes.
I like what he said. He said, if you want to be a national brand, he said, act like it. If you want someone to pay you the highest paid receiver in the history of the game, act like it. That's what it is. It all goes back
yep.
to actions. Actions speak louder than words. That's all I have to say to him. And I hope every
yeah.
other player is watching saying, okay, I need to make smarter decisions. with who I hang out with.
My thought process is it's not right to do drugs, obviously.
Right. Right.
Not only are you possibly doing drugs,
especially as an athlete,
you also have as an athlete on knowing good and well that not everybody may have the best intention for you. But like, you don't know who's videotaping you or taking pictures. And then on top of that, like as I'm watching the video, it's not that long, but
he's
sitting there having this conversation with her about, you know, whatever sexual activity or whatever with someone else. You're not like the least bit defensive of the fact that I didn't know they were taking the video. You don't see him like jump and tell someone to stop taking the video. His response was, it was an old video. She said it was a couple days ago or last week or whatever.
Right, right. It's contradictory.
So not only are, like, in my opinion, he should be he's not denying the video. He's not denying what's in the video. He's just denying when the video happened. Oh, bad news. I guess old news is whatever he said. Old news is still current news or something like that.
Right.
Like,
right.
No, you're doing something wrong. Regardless if this video was 3 years ago, you are a big name NFL player. The world is constantly watching every move you do. And you know that as a professional athlete, that you're on a different stage than other people. You're held to a higher standard.
Yep.
So
yep.
Act like a grown man. Act responsible. Whatever you decide to do in your personal life, keep it in your personal life. Don't have people around you that will be taking videos and stuff if you are going to do something illegal.
That's true.
Don't have,
obviously, don't, those aren't the right people
like,
for you.
Right.
If the
but
video
I don't
was leaked.
It, but don't, definitely don't have videos of you doing possible illegal activity. So it's just wrong on all levels. And I like a lot of the comments that former NFL, current NFL players are saying. Shannon Sharp was saying, bad, bad, bad. Like, I agree. It just looks really irresponsible. And he clearly still has not learned what it takes to be a top paid athlete is not just your talent. You have to be someone that the franchise can trust will positively show their franchise in the public, not someone that their name. So now the Giants name is being associated with his bad actions and decisions. And now the entire franchise looks bad because of one person.
Mm-hmm. And the Giants did not need any more drama. They've already had. But then here comes OBJ and decides it's just, it's crazy. I've had enough of him. But Renee, on a better note, I like to end my show with the Woman Crush Everyday segment where I today want to honor Adrienne Lawrence. Now, I'm honoring her, and I know she's honestly come under a lot of backlash this past week with everything that came out. And the people that don't know her, she's a former ESPN host and legal analyst, and she actually sued the network in federal court last Monday, basically claiming that the company has a lot of misogyny going on and asserting that she was basically fired after she complained about being sexually harassed by a senior anchor. Now, I'm honoring her, and I'm not saying, obviously, that anything is true, because I do think everything has to go through due process and go through court. But I'm honoring her just because I think it's so hard to sometimes stand up to certain things, especially when it involves your job and a job that is very hard to get. And that's why I'm honoring her, just because, obviously, I mean, the Me Too movement, and as I know you know, has been huge and it has been tremendous. And I don't think anybody can know what it's like, of course, unless you've been in that situation. But women for a long time have been silenced, have been hushed. And honestly, sometimes their claims have just been dismissed and swept under the rugs. I think anytime someone has the courage to stand up and speak out, they deserve a right to be heard and a right to be taken seriously. And that's why I'm honoring her. This week, not even really honoring her, I'll say just highlighting her with my Woman Crush Everyday segment, just because I hope that she inspires others. If you're going through a situation that's similar, to just, it's okay to stand up and it's okay to seek justice. And as I said, though, everything does have to go through the court process, not accusing anybody, because I don't think anybody should do that. Nobody wants to get accused before they have a right to a trial.
Right.
But I will be watching and seeing how things play out. But kind of, what did you overall think of the whole Adrienne Lawrence situation and what came out and some of her allegations?
Well, I have to say that I really enjoyed the rundown in general, and especially this topic, because it is something that right now has been so big in not just reporting, but in all careers, for women, for minorities, to feel like they can speak up without being without having negative consequences or being fired or let go because they decide to voice their opinion about being mistreated. And definitely in light of the Me Too movement, it is crucial right now for all women, for all people of all ages, to feel like they can go into the workplace, do their job efficiently to their best ability, and not be treated differently because of how they look, their gender, or have comments to them about what they're wearing and things like that, or
right.
even have people that are offering, you know, saying that they'll give them a promotion or they'll get an opportunity if they in favor for sexual requests. I mean, that's it's awful, but I'm glad that she spoke up because I have had so many conversations. I have seen so many instances and where women are just dealing with this in silence. And I know I've talked to a ton of women that are older because obviously, you know, we're younger, you and I, so we're just really getting into this. But I've talked to women that have been in specifically in sports reporting industry or just women in general for decades that say this was a normal thing. They would normally, like day in and day out, they'd be harassed. They'd be offered these sexual advances. They all these different things that were going on. They'd hear comments based on how they were dressed, their figure,
right.
this, that, and a third. And it's been a norm and it's sickening. And
right.
I'm glad that she spoke up about it. And she's someone that she had a $200,000+ salary at a law firm, stepped away from that to become a legal analyst with ESPN, taking
mm-hmm.
a significant pay cut. It's not like she's doing this for money. She's
right.
someone that she's credible. She's worked in ESPN for a few years now. And
right.
she's openly been saying, again, I agree. I don't know what's true at this point. But I do know this is, regardless if it's true or not at ESPN, it's true for what's going on in society. So
mm-hmm.
I commend her for speaking up. And everyone will say, oh, it was a joke, or they didn't mean it, or, no, she took it the wrong way. She's being sensitive. No, the exact definition of any type of harassment is it's perceived. If the person that is receiving the comments feels like they have been discriminated, feels like they are uncomfortable because of it, that is harassment. It doesn't matter. I can jokingly tell you something and
mm-hmm.
think it's a joke. If you don't like my joke and you don't feel uncomfortable because of it, then
right.
that's on you. I can't tell you how to feel.
Right.
So
right.
I am very happy that she has spoken up in light of the fact that she knew her job may be at stake because, you know, she already is not working there.
Right.
But she knew that, like, her future career opportunities may be at stake because of this, which is also a shame.
Right.
You should not be scared to speak up because of future repercussions. So,
right.
you know, a shout-out to Adrienne Lawrence for
right.
having the courage to stand up and for all the women that are standing up in any type of sexual discrimination or harassment that they are facing.
Right. I mean, so well said, Renee. And as we both said, I mean, we're not prejudging, we're not accusing, but it takes courage to come out and say these things, obviously, because I think we've lived in a world for a long time, and I'm sure a lot of women and men, because it can happen to men as well.
Yes.
You know, where it's hard to report these things because a lot of times, I mean, people might have not taken it seriously, or a lot of people have been scared to lose their jobs over it, especially their
mm-hmm.
jobs that maybe they've been working their entire lives for. But again, it goes back to your point. I mean, everyone should be able to walk into their workplace. I don't care where you work and be comfortable and not be
yes.
judged on their appearance and things like that. And it's a difference between giving somebody a compliment and being a little extra, you know, and making someone feel uncomfortable. But again, I think people
exactly.
have to remember it's a workplace. You're not at a bar. You know, you're not just going up to someone and saying, hey, you know, you look good. You don't want to drink. It's not a bar. It's a
right.
workplace. It's a difference, okay? It's a big difference. These are people who went to school like you or did the same training, have the same skills, whatever, and they're working to do their job. And also,
yeah.
I hope people don't rush to judgment and say, oh, people are lying. Give people a chance. You know, you hear these things. Do not judge until I think we see all cases of the evidence, you know, pointed out. But, Adrienne, props to you. You know, you have inspired others, I hope, to stand up and speak out because I truly hope one day, Renee, that it'll come to a time where women and men won't have to report these things because I hope they won't have to report them because it won't be happening. You know, we'll just be respectful of each other's personal space. So hopefully we get there in the
Definitely.
Future. But again, Adrienne, thank you for stepping up. And Renee, thank you so much for being such a fabulous guest on the show. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we had lots of fun, which I expected when I woke up.
Oh, yeah.
On, but I hope you had a blast. And for
oh,
everyone.
I loved it.
Yay,
thank you for
see, that
me.
Makes me happy. Thank you for coming on. I mean, you were fabulous. And for everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until later this week, when I welcome in UMD legend Walt Williams, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at The Real K Nelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with KNN from venues around the region, email Kelsey at KelseyNelson at FoxSports1340AM.com. For more information about Listen In with KNN, visit FoxSports1340AM.com.